In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Holy Mother, the Church, truly is the best of teachers, following the example set by her spouse, our Lord and Savior. For on this Passion Sunday, we begin this process of more deliberately and intentionally moving ourselves into the greatest mystery to ever unfold amidst the human condition, that man was capable of putting to death the author of life itself. And we are forced, brothers and sisters, by what happens liturgically, to lean into this experience and not to lightly or easily excuse ourselves from the contemplation thereof. And so our statuary is now covered, not only to engender in us a desire to look deeper, but also to remind us of the absence that has been created by virtue of our sin. Before our Lord's incarnation, before the fulfillment of his paschal mystery, there was something missing. For all the power and majesty and glory of those covenantal relationships, those ritual realities into which ancient Israel entered, none of them had of themselves the power to heal, to bind, to forgive, to reconcile. This only exists in our Lord and Savior. And so all the ways that they sought to make recompense, to be reminded of their sins in order to pay the price for the sins for which they were guilty, all of those ultimately were empty and can only be fulfilled in our Lord and Savior. As St. Paul reminds us in his exhortation to the Hebrews, if indeed the blood of calves and goats, the ashes of heifers somehow led to redemption, how much more so than the blood of God himself that leads to true, authentic, eternal redemption. To rejoice in the glory of the new life that is given to us upon the cross, to rejoice in the sacrifice of blood and body that has given us new life, requires also from us a recognition of our participation, our complicitness in the suffering of our Lord. And therein lies both the difficulty and the wisdom. The difficulty because it is hard to admit that we are sinners and that we contribute to the suffering of our Lord. He died that we might have life, taking unto himself all sin, past, present, future. That includes, brothers and sisters, each of us. It is easy to speak on a grand, large level about God forgiving all sinners, but somehow in that very phrase, excuse us, as if somehow in speaking about all sinners, we neglect to speak about ourselves as sinners. We have sinned against God. And it is because of that willfulness, that deliberateness to do what it is that we want, how we want, when we want, in whatever manner we so fashion, that God had to come into the world and reconcile us unto himself. It is a hard thing to admit, but a necessary thing to admit. And so in her wisdom, in her love for us, the Church slowly but surely begins to strip away things from us to which we might cling. Our relics are gone. Our statues are covered. Our votive candles, which speak of our prayers, are lifted up to God. They now are extinguished. The Gloria Patri, which we pray in psalms and prayers, is no longer recited. And this begins this movement where by Good Friday, everything will be black and empty. There will be a paucity. There will be a lacking. And all of that to intensify what it is that we have done, but also that which rests for us if we can lean into this reality. There then is time for us still in our Lenten journey to prepare ourselves well for what it is that will transpire. But you make meaningless and empty the content of the cross if you separate yourself from the sins that the Lord undertook upon that cross. If you somehow find yourself different from or better than or absent of sin, I'm not as sinful as this one, or my sins are not as serious as that one. That may be true on one level, but the fact is we are all sinners. The degree to which they might cry to heaven merely at this juncture, because what it is our Lord will do for us, really is only a question of degree. And so, as we were enjoined in the seminary, we must always own our own statements when we preach. And so, I stand before you, a sinner, making frequent use of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation precisely because I know of my weaknesses. And they're not just failures in the natural order. They are failures in the supernatural order. Because every time we sin, we squander that dignity that has been bestowed upon us by our baptisms. We reject not only the faculties given to us by birth, but the graces bestowed upon us by the virtue of what God gives to us in grace itself. This needs God to be reconciled. Truly, only God can reconcile. And so here we now stand, being moved, prompted, and motivated to go deeper and deeper. If there is fear and there is trepidation, if there is anxiety, all of those things are legitimate and true. You should feel those things. Fear because of your sins, a certain degree of anxiety and trepidation for the pain and anguish that you caused our Lord upon the cross. But at the same time, as we see that which is lacking, we also know that which comes after. If we can stay with the Lord, not only unto, but at the precise moment of death and sacrifice. If we can remain constant with him in the moment of confusion and darkness. If we can remain steadfast when we stand before God, stripped bare, and all of our sins made known before us. It is at that precise moment that we can receive the fullness of everlasting life. The Lord only and always speaks truth. This, of course, brings him into conflict with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. And as we listen to sacred scripture and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the scriptures as well will participate in leading us more deeply into what it is that our Lord endures. On any number of occasions, as the Lord speaks truth to them, their response is not to reform their lives, but to stone our Lord. Seemingly is much easier to destroy the truth than it would be for us to transform and change ourselves. And that which was is also now present and real. How easily modern man has chosen to refashion the world in his own existence in order that all of the sins for which he is guilty now become the right way of living life. And those who seek to follow after the Lord are somehow seen as rude and disenfranchised and separated from reality and truth. They attempted to stone our Lord, but he moved among them until it was right and fitting that he would suffer and die as the Father had so willed, as providence had prepared. We must remain with him, must walk along with him, must be witnesses to him. Of course, we might be tempted, like the disciples, to abandon our Lord, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees to tell lies against our Lord, to breathe murderous threats against him, to falsely accuse him, to seek to put him to death, and then to put him to death. We might want to distance ourselves, but each time we sin, that is precisely what we are doing. And the only way to overcome this, the only way to grapple with this, is first to admit my complicity, then to seek reconciliation, both through the sacrament itself and our conscious and full participation in this, the greatest act of reconciliation, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But if all that you do is merely gesture, if all that you do is simply things that you've done over and over and over again, then no matter what the Lord does, the hardness of your heart will impede that which God desires to bring to you. These are not easy things to be said, to say to you, my beloved, but they are things that must be said nonetheless. I jeopardize my own soul if I seek comfort and ease, or I only want to be liked and to be thought well of, instead of preaching the truth and then seeking to live the truth. It's incumbent upon me to say these things, and then it's incumbent upon me to live by example. And so go to confession. Seek reconciliation. There is still time in the Lenten season to remain steadfast to those disciplines that you can strip yourself more and more so that God can be the one to fill you up. But brothers and sisters, you must adhere and believe and seek after the Lord and realize the great price that has been paid in order that you might have life and have it abundantly. Rejoice. Give thanks to God that you are now His witnesses, and prepare yourselves to begin this great journey, following our Lord as He journeys on His cross, as He dies upon that cross, to bring you life both in this world and in the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.